two men on a dream vacation.
What the hell are they doing?
I sure think they killed her.
Back! Frank, they've seen us.
And get trapped in an unbelievable nightmare.
Turn off the light!
Why? What's wrong? What are you guys up to?
What? 20th Century Fox presents Race the Devil.
We saw somebody murdered.
What?
Some sort of ritual across the river. A girl got stabbed.
They're chasing us.
Starring Peter Fonda and Warren Oates. There was nowhere they could hide.
Alice, look what was stuck to the back window.
It's some kind of message.
Witchcraft.
Witches!
There was no one they could trust.
Well,
did anybody hear anything? Didn't anybody see anything?
Go on with your trip. Have a good time. Leave this up to me.
There was nothing they could do.
They followed us all the way from Bandera. They're here right now watching us.
But run. And fight.
Shoot it, Frank!
And race with the devil.
There's somebody on top.
Frank, it's got to lead!
We gotta stay in here. Don't go up!
Peter Fonda, Warren Oates, Loretta Swit, Lara Parker. Race with the Devil. When you race with the devil, you'd better be faster than hell.
Goddamn club, aren't I?
I'll wait for you to come. I've been here all along. Now that you've arrived, please stay a while. And I promise I won't keep you long. I'll keep you forever.
Hey everybody, this is Justin.
And Zana.
And we are here today with a little bit different approach because we are not going to have time to record an episode for the latest flick, which All the Colors of the Dark, that's what it's called. I almost forgot. And actually, because Anna, you're going to be off the grid for a little bit, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I'm going to be off the grid for a week or so.
Good, good. Well, enjoy your time off the grid. I will sadly be on the grid, square in the middle of it, but that's okay. I'll get my chance this summer to get a little break. But in the meantime, we did want to chat briefly about last week's film. We didn't get to have a chat about that. And Anna had some thoughts that she wanted to share with everybody about Race with the Devil. So let's hop right into it. Anna, talk to us about Race with the Devil.
Okay, so Peter Fonda is kind of what some people would probably say the king of the road movie, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a classic horror road movie from the 70s. But, you know, I hadn't seen it in forever. And having rewatching it as an adult, I just kind of felt like the characters really weren't acting the way I would react.
Well, you're trying
situation.
To say they're dumb. Like, they're really dumb.
Yeah, right? Like, okay, so I've got certain things to pick out. Like,
okay.
For instance, they go off to this little country roadhouse place with these people that they don't know, who, by the way, just walked into their trailer like they owned the place.
That's true.
And then they're like, yeah, let's go drinking with these people, because that makes total sense. And then they tell the people about the, you know, the ritual sacrifice that they saw. Why in the fuck would you do that? And then, right? And then you go back to your place and you see your dog dead hanging on your door, which means they've broken into your RV, clearly. And
obviously.
Then you just keep, and then you yell at all the townspeople who are acting very strange and not concerned at all, red flag, and you just jump in your RV and keep going. Why did you not search your RV?
That's true. Yeah, there's a lot of stupid things. I will agree with you, and that's definitely one of the ones that stuck with me. I will say, on a related note to the scene you mentioned, the dog thing got me a little bit. You know, I love dogs, and every time an animal is killed, it does bug me. So that was something that bothered me, but I do think that their reaction to it all was kind of ridiculous.
Right?
Or non-reaction, really, when you think about it. I mean, they reacted by running away, but there's a lot of things they didn't really take into account at all. So, yeah.
Right.
Do you have
like,
any other moments that jumped out at you?
Just how wide-reaching is this satanic cult in 1970s Texas?
Apparently not, very wide-reaching.
Seems a little far-fetched, right?
It does. A little bit.
I mean, all the same, it was very entertaining. I was
sure.
Just mad at the whole thing.
That's fair. I mean, I guess with those type of films, a lot of times I just don't consider the movie logic to matter that much to me a lot of times. Like, I wasn't looking at it to be, like, some deep movie. I do think that, like, I step back and look at it, they're dumb. I mean, they're not the most intelligent folk. But, you know, it was really entertaining. And you're right. Peter Fonda is kind of the king of a road movie. I'm more associated with that kind of, like, biker flicks and stuff. But, like, this was kind of a biker flick in an RV, you know, because, you know, that's kind of what it was. I've actually never seen it until last week. And I really liked it. You know, I do think that you make a very valid point that if you're going to try to look at maybe suspend your disbelief, it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Some movies I can suspend my disbelief for, but this one, like, you know, it's got, you know, the supernatural element, but at the same time, most of it is supposed to be grounded in reality to some extent.
Right.
You're supposed
right.
to, like,
it is really more
relate
real.
To this. Yeah, you're supposed to relate to this family that's on vacation, or these two families that are on vacation or whatever. But then some things are just like, that's how you respond to that. Your back window gets broken out by a satanic cult, and 20 minutes later into the movie is when you decide to buy a gun.
You know, I didn't even put that together. That's pretty great.
You know?
That's really true. I mean, also, even when in the very beginning, when they witnessed the what was going on with the cult, when they witnessed the sacrifice, they kind of just stood there and watched. And, like, even
right.
when it happened, they were, you know, yeah, they were like, but they didn't really try to get away until, like, noise was being made. Like, I would have probably booked it right the fuck away. Like,
right.
Really.
Like, if I had seen a big group of people around a campfire, like, chanting things and looking suspicious, I'd probably be like, yeah, let's move the RV somewhere else.
I'm like, I'm done, and, yeah. Fire
yeah,
up the
I'm
RV
gonna...
and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Well, so I would have to agree with you on that. One of the things that, about the movie that struck me is that there's a litany of, like, 70s, movies that all kind of bleed together for me, and this is going to become one of them. I can't help it. It's just like the tone and the feel of it all, and everything just kind of feel the same. Like there's probably like 10 movies if I really sat down and thought about it, and a lot of them are kind of those biker movies. You know, I saw a few more recently, like what the hell is it called? Psychomania. Have you ever seen Psychomania?
I don't believe I have.
It's also called, I think, The Death Wheelers. No, that's a different movie. Hold on. It's about a the film's plot is completely different, but like the feel of it kind of falls into that, like, you know, 70s road movie kind of thing. Like, they're actually about a gang of, like, a biker gang who realizes that if they, like, you know, if they intentionally, like, kill themselves, basically they commit suicide in the name of, like, Satan, that they'll come back to life as, like, these immortal beings. And
uh-huh.
they do, but it sounds way cooler than it is. Like, this movie was actually a lot more fun than that one. That was really slow and virtually nothing happened. But for some reason, the tone, like, the look of it, the tone of it, like, so many of these movies just kind of feel the same to me. Although this one's definitely one of the ones I liked more. It just feels like there was an era where there was a very distinct feel to this type of movie.
Yeah, the tone and feeling of this movie is also kind of similar to Steven Spielberg's really early movie, Duel.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, definitely a lot like Duel. One of Spielberg's few forays into anything that's horror-related.
I love that movie, honestly.
Yeah, it's a good flick. Yeah, it's a good flick. Actually, on the Steven Spielberg note, E.T. was just added to Netflix in the last, like, week or so. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, so I was revisiting E.T. with my kid, and horribly afraid of E.T. So she was afraid of him since he was little. Like, she was little. Well, he was little, I don't know. But he's still little. But since she was little, and to this day, she just won't watch it. It's irrational because she watches a lot of things that are, like, significantly more frightening than that. But I can see how, like, you watch a movie when you're young and it just sticks with you.
My boyfriend won't be watching E.T. with me either, but that's because he thinks E.T. is a garbage movie.
Oh, that's a shame. I think it's great.
I know,
but
right?
That's okay. Why do you not like E.T.?
I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. I know that he hates Drew Barrymore, even child actor Drew Barrymore.
Okay, that's fair.
He's got very strong opinions about certain actors and actresses.
Okay. Well, I could see not liking her maybe later in life. I don't know that she does anything to be all that annoying quite in the movie, but I could see that. I mean, that's fair.
I don't know. I mean,
go ahead.
I'm ambivalent towards the movie. Like, I just, you know, it's a movie that came out in the 80s, and it's supposed to be a classic. It's fine. But
well, that's fair. There's definitely a lot of classic movies that I don't feel any kind of way about or just don't care for. E.T.'s one that I'm fond of. I've probably seen it 10 times in my life, a dozen, I don't know, something like that. Most of them when I was young, a few times since then. Here and there. It was, you know, came out when I was a year old. So, you know, obviously I remember seeing it pretty young. I couldn't tell you how young, but I was probably only, you know, 5 or 6 or something when I saw it. And, you know, I remember really liking it. And my kids are enjoying it. Now, to be fair, my kids' taste ranges from really awesome to really awful. But I think that's just a kid thing.
That's
like,
definitely just a kid thing.
They love Star Wars and even like the appropriate Star Wars movies, you know, like my son will never put on Episode 2, which is fair because it's the worst one by far. But at the same time, he will watch like these god awful like Disney and Nickelodeon TV shows that make me want to like jump through the windows of my house to my certain death. So
Nickelodeon's just not what it used to be.
This is true. This is true. Gone are the days of Good Burger.
And, I heard that All That is having a reunion, and I went back and watched some of the All That skits, and now I think maybe I watched terrible TV as a child.
Yeah, that happened to me. You know what? And on a horror-related note, you know, an iconic show for me as a kid was Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Love that show.
You know what? I rewatched, and I think it's really bad.
It is really bad, but if you're a kid, some of those things are terrifying. And
that's
some
true.
Of those episodes were pretty good. Not
yeah, there's
awesome.
A handful of episodes that are good. You're right.
Like, my favorite as a kid was Watcher in the Woods.
I do remember that episode.
Yeah, there's three girls who went missing in the woods, and then there's, like, this witch in the woods, and that episode was pretty scary. Another really good one was the episode where the chick gets asked to paint for this art gallery, and she finds out that the art brushes are, like, attached to this, like, demonic being, and people get, like, sucked into the paintings because this chick is using their souls to remain young forever.
Yeah, so kind of an interesting variation of Dorian Gray in a way.
Yeah, but that was very a really good episode.
Very creative use of a classic literature reference in cheesy TV. But I do think that there's definitely some good stories in there. I think it's the quality of the show that struck me as like, wow, this is not good. Although, to be fair, some other classic TV shows that are completely unrelated and still considered great shows really don't look good anymore. Like, have you ever watched The Wonder Years in the last few years? Like, it looks really awful. Like, the content of the show is still good, but
part of that, though, is, you know, it was shot in the 90s, but it was supposed to look like it was made in the 70s.
Right, that's true, that's true. Except stuff that was made in the 70s looks better. I don't get it.
I don't know. Like maybe they downgraded a little too much when they were making it.
Yeah, I guess. It's like when people put on like grain filters on their movie to make it look cool, and it actually just doesn't really help. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it's bad.
Right, yeah.
So I guess, you know, stick with, you know, you can make a show about the 70s that looks like, you know, it was filmed in the 90s. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean,
well,
Freaks and
Geeks.
Right,
because I mean, that 70s show was filmed in the
right.
90s, and it looks like it was filmed in the 90s.
Right. Well, and Freaks and Geeks was filmed in the mid 90s, and it's about the early 80s, and it's a great show. But, you know, so I guess maybe that's a lesson to be learned. But back to Race with the Devil, since we had a nice divergent conversation there. Would you stash or trash it?
I would stash it in the tradition of, you know, it's hokey, but it's definitely entertaining. I enjoyed myself, even if it was just to pick it apart.
Sure. And I would stash it because I just thought it was a blast. And I would probably pair it with some other 70s films, and then they'd all be confused as one film to me in my head. But that's okay. Since we're going to just wrap it up shortly, I'm going to toss it over to Royal to talk about his film. But before I do that, and is there anything that you've been watching or reading that you'd want to mention or anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I recently watched Knock Knock.
Ooh, what do you think?
Okay, so I found it entertaining.
Okay.
Even though I really just kind of love to hate Eli Roth.
Okay, I do too, but I actually really like Knock Knock.
Yeah, I kind of liked it, but it was one of those movies where I was like, my boyfriend can never watch this with me because he's just going to be like, why hasn't Keanu Reeves just punched one of those chicks? Because he gets away at one point, and he
right.
has a total chance to just like obliterate them, but he just like handles them with kid gloves, and then he gets tied back up again.
Right, that's true. So, and I think it's because his character is this supremely, like, even though he cheats on his wife, and, you know, but it takes a long time for them to finally, like, get him to do it, when in, like, many other films and things you watch, it's like, all you gotta do is, like, you know, shake your ass to someone, and they're like, let's go.
Yeah, I think it was more realistic. I mean, they had to literally grab him in order for that
right.
to happen.
They did, and actually, I think that maybe that's part of his character and why he wouldn't punch, you know, one of them in the face initially. It took him a lot even to, like, throw one against the wall, you know, because
right.
he's a dad, and he's very much a dad, you know, like, and I
yeah.
think that's part of the thing for him. And as a dad, I can kind of relate to how it would be hard to, like, you know, even after someone fucked with your life to, you know, especially if you perceive they're underage and that they're a kid, you know. So I definitely get that, and I think Keanu's pretty fantastic in the movie.
I think he did a good job.
I think he's found his niche in a lot of roles lately, because I think that there was a period of his career where people were misusing him, and that's why he was a laughingstock among, you know, actual acting. And then and then I think when he found his niche in kind of stuff where he can be more of a physical actor and either be hokey or not talk much, one or the other. You know, and so
he's
kind of hokey in this, or, like, then you have a movie like John Wick where he has, like, 10 lines, but he's fucking badass. You know, so, like, I think he really has found his niche. And you know what? If Eli Roth makes more films like that, I could probably like it. But the same time as that comes out, in the same year Green Inferno comes out, and I'm not even going to fucking touch that one. Like, I know, watching the previews and listening to what people have to say, I know damn well I'm going to hate that movie, and it's going to be like, oh, I already hate cannibal movies, and he even Eli Rothed it up. So,
I've seen it.
Oh, yeah?
I have. It's, I did pass out at some point.
Oh, you mentioned that.
I did mention that a few episodes ago, I think.
Right.
I did pass out watching it, but it was not as gruesome as you might think. And honestly,
okay.
I think I just got my, it worked up so much in my head, and that's why I tunnel vision.
Okay. Interesting. Well, and I'm not a cannibal movie person in general, so of course somebody in the next few rounds will probably pick a cannibal movie just to fuck with me now that I said that. But that's okay. I can count on someone to do it. But anyway,
I did want to plug a couple of things before I got off of my tangent.
I wanted to make sure you got a chance to do that.
All right,
so
after I return from my vacation of sorts, I'm going to put out the watermelon article on the Farsighted blog, finally.
Awesome.
Also, I'm taste testing these new nut M&M flavors. There is a coffee nut M&M, a chili nut M&M, and a honey nut M&M, and they are interesting.
Well, the coffee sounds awesome to me. I'm not sure what I think about the others, but the coffee sounds really awesome to me. So I'm very interested to hear what you have to say. How did you get a hold of those, man?
My roommate found them in Walgreens, and there's like a voting contest to, you know, pick the one. Do or whatever, but she brought them home for me to try out, so I did, and I wrote an article about them.
I'm quite jealous, I have to say, that the coffee one sounds pretty fantastic, and I do love some M&M's. So, well, we got some interesting stuff to hear about in the coming episodes and to check out on the blog, so that's awesome. And my only plug will be for not a horror movie, but a genre film that I think a lot of folks who would listen to this podcast in our group would like or maybe even love, like I did, a film called Dangerous Men, which just was released by Draft House Films. It began filming in 1979 and was completed in 2005. So,
oh, wow.
26 years, Iranian director John F. Rad, who, yes, his name is Rad, like Rad, which I don't believe is his real name. I believe it's his Americanized name. But I can't even explain this film. It is so, it's one of the so bad it's good, but it's just like so, so bad. It's so, so good. I cannot explain it. It's just so fun. I would recommend it to anyone. It's available on all your VOD outlets and just got released on DVD and Blu-ray. And I'll be posting a review on Synapse, one of the other sites I write for, in the coming week or so. So if anyone's interested, they can head on over there and check that out. But that's really it for me. And I think by next time we talk, I'll have probably completed or close to completed my David Lynch watching that I talked about before. So I'll have a couple more David Lynch films to reference, and we can kind of chat about those. So
that sounds good.
Awesome.
Refresh my memory. What is our next movie that we're watching for the podcast?
Oh, my God. Refresh your memory. So, All the Colors of the Dark is the movie that was supposed to be this week, and we are listening to Royal talk about, and maybe if I get a chance to watch it before I post this, I'll add some in. Gosh, I don't remember what the one after that is, so I guess I'm just going to have to throw that in later, because I don't know.
I've got it written down somewhere.
Oh, good. Well, unfortunately, I can't plug whether or not I'm excited about it, but I'll be excited about it anyway. So.
Yeah, me too, whether I like it or not.
And I'm excited, though, for later in the round to get to watch your selection, Don't Look Now. It's a really great choice. And actually, my selection might be coming up real soon, The Sacrament. So that may or may not be one of the upcoming ones. Because we only have maybe, I don't know, four more or something like that after this one. So, I guess we'll be here to talk about that or whatever movie we're supposed to talk about, and we'll get back on track with normal episodes when you get back from your vacation. So enjoy.
Hey, everybody, this is Justin. I'm going to turn it over for a short little podcast. preview, and then Royal's going to talk about his movie. Unfortunately, we did not get a chance to watch the movie, as we noted in our little chat about Race with the Devil. We didn't get to watch it in time. I have since watched it, and I will comment that it is batshit crazy, but I will save my discussion for the boards. And I hope everybody else joins us on the boards, because both last week's movie, Race with the Devil, and this week's movie, All the Colors of the Dark, are available for free on YouTube. So head on over to YouTube and watch the movies and come contribute to the chat. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week when we're back on track with a normal type episode.
And now our feature presentation.
You have crossed every barrier to reality. You are beyond its limits. And you'll never see it again.
Terror strikes in a blinding flash. A flash of colors. All the colors of the dark.
The Colors of the Dark, aka Tutti e Colori del Buio, also known as Day of the Maniac, and They're Coming to Get You. This is put out by Sergio Martino. I picked this specifically because of Martino, plus I kind of shortchanged it with my last pick. Sorry, folks, didn't mean to do that. But here I gave you a nice little taste of some beautiful supernatural gialli that isn't by Argento, Fusi, or Mafia Baba. Martino was inspired pretty much by Ira Levine's Rosemary's Baby when he decided to make this film. He had a hand in the script, and he got this is probably his most personal film, as he has several members of his family involved in this, with George Hampton and Edward Finch, his cousin and his sister-in-law, and his brother-in-law produced it. Not his brother-in-law, his brother, I'm sorry. His brother produced it. There is Rosemary's Baby's influence in this film, but it is not a direct copy of Rosemary's Baby. This was made in 1972, a very good year for horror. Anything from Last House on the Left to Blackula was made, and this is pretty much Europe's contribution. It was made a couple years before the great control of Italian cinema, where producers wanted to make films like that. They wanted to make copies, they wanted to make reboots and remakes. Sounds like someone we really know, right? Anyhow, it's a beautiful film. I love the wide shots. The wide shots are beautiful. It's got an ethereal tone to it. And that's one of the reasons I picked this film. Shots of the castle, shots of the courtyards, the forests, the parks. Very brilliant. This is probably also one of Ivan Rasimov's best films. Ivan Rasimov is someone who Martino constantly worked with during his tenure as director. He's the guy with the blue eyes, right? And it's very moody. It's very ethereal. It's also sort of if there's anything it's trying to say about anything, it's something about hysteria. How it's always women who get hysteria, which is not true, but it was always related to the women ever since medieval times. Well, not even medieval times, 1920s, when Freud started to hit big. Hysteria was majorly contributed to women. And then the only things that could cure hysteria was drugs and psychotherapy. And then Martino was playing with that concept a little bit. Other than that, it does run a little too long in some areas. It is a bit heavy-handed with the nightmare sequences. I think you could have done a little bit more with the satanic cult. His name doesn't register with me right now. But the cult leader, very good job. Very awesome. Decent job. If we're going for stash and trash, I'd say stash this as a representative of the giallo genre. And something to have as part of your collection. If you are a big giallo collector, definitely something to have on your list. And if you're a horror fan in general, this is definitely something on your list as a representative of giallo. Anyway, that's all I have right now. I hope you enjoy the show. Au revoir. Bienvenue. Goodbye.
On fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire.